Before we get into the word and read our scripture for today, I want to stop and just take a moment to pray for our nation and pray and recognize that this is Memorial Day. And Memorial Day it's based in the Christian tradition of this nation. It happened right after the Civil War. And it was designed to allow the country to heal. In fact, Christians who got together, even in the South, they actually got together and they would lay flowers on the graves of Union soldiers and Confederate soldiers. And they would pray for the healing of this nation. So that started around the late 1860s. Just maybe 5 or 6 years after the Civil War and after the Emancipation Proclamation. So this nation has a history of a connection of Christianity. And so when we talk about Memorial Day, many times it's just looked at as, oh, that's the first holiday marking the beginning of summer. That's when the pools open. That's when we can have a barbecue and the big sales happen. But in reality, it was never designed to be that. It was always designed to be a time of prayer, of reflection, of God, what is it that you want our nation to change? And so I want us to go ahead and pray for the United States and pray for our government and pray that God would just have his way in this nation. He's visited us many times in different revivals. We're believing him once again for that. Father, we thank you. Your word declares that we lift up kings and all those in authority over us, that we might lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness. And so, Father, right now, in accordance with your word, we lift up this nation. We lift up the leaders. Whether we have voted for them or not, God, we lift them up. And God, we ask that you would send people, send individuals to be around them that would help influence their decisions. Father, that we as believers could be the instruments that can bring good news, the instruments that can bring help, healing, and hope to this nation. And we pray once again that you would visit us as a nation and revive us once more. We thank you, Lord, for those that gave their life in the cause of freedom from a natural perspective. But Lord, we always know that what Jesus came to do for us, to give us the ultimate freedom by dying a horrible death on the cross for us so that we could be free. Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for those that have labored in the natural for this nation. And Lord, we honor the sacrifice that they made. And now, Father, we just continue to lift up and uphold this nation, that it truly would be one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Yes. Amen. 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 Thank you for your prayers. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Well, let's stand as we have our morning verse today. It's out of John chapter 14. John chapter 14 is our verse, verses 12 through 16. John chapter 14, verses 12 through 16. Hallelujah. Isn't God good? Yes. Amen. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. All right, John 14, verses 12 through 16. Thank you, Jesus. Everybody got it?
Yes.
Okay. Then his disciples came. Excuse me. John
14:12.
Sorry. Thought I had it marked. My apologies. Here we go. Verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you.
John chapter 14.
I am so sorry. Again.
John 14.
There we go.
Verse 12.
Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. Father, thank you for the reading of your word. Thank you, God, that today, Lord, that you would speak to us. Teach me as I teach, and Lord, that you would be glorified in our midst. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you. So we've been talking about coming up. Coming up. And when we think about that phrase, coming up to the level and the measure of Christ. So that's really what we've been talking about. And the verse 12 is the key verse. It talks about greater works than the ones that Jesus did. That's a pretty tall order. Greater works than what he did. Now, a lot of times we immediately dismiss that or talk ourselves out of that, but that's exactly what the word says. Greater works. It doesn't say just enough works. It says greater works. Greater works than these. Greater works than the ones that he has done, because he's going to the Father. Now, thank God, he's not telling us to do them on our own. Aren't you glad?
Yes.
And the ending part of what we just read, it said that he's going to send another one. He's going to send another helper that he may abide with you forever. So God doesn't ask us to make these works happen on our own, does he? He asks us to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. So we have an answer to this question. How do we come up to that level, to the level that God is asking every one of us to come to? It's not just for the pastor. It's not just for the evangelist, the teacher, the prophet, the missionary. Oh, yeah. It's not just for the Gary Crowells or the Sushil Kumars or the Monica Kumars. It is for you and me to come up to that level. That's going to take some cooperation on our part, because God doesn't have robots. He doesn't have a bunch of robots that just do his bidding, that he makes you follow him. He doesn't do that. We follow him because he's good to us.
Yes.
Romans chapter 2 tells us that the goodness and the kindness of God caused us to repent. The goodness and God. Go ahead and turn there. Romans chapter 2. It says the goodness and the kindness of God causes us to repent, causes us to change our minds about who God is, about how he operates, about how he treats us as his children. And if you think back, and as we began our worship service today, Pastor Christine talked to you and was exhorting you and admonishing you. What was it like when you came to Christ? Right? What was it like? What was it like when you came to Christ? I mean, it's the goodness and the kindness of God that caused us to come to know the Lord. Amen? And when we're there in Romans chapter 2, and it says in verse 3, and do you think, O man, you judge these practicing such things, talking about sin, and doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you despise the riches, verse 4, of his goodness, forbearance, long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? It's not the judgment of God. It is the goodness of God. The goodness of God causes us to want to be around him. Now think about Jesus' ministry just for a second. Last week we mentioned to you Acts chapter 10 and verse 38, which describes Jesus' ministry. So before you go there, I want you to see that one more time in Romans chapter 2 and verse 4, that it is God's long suffering, his forbearance, knowing that it is the goodness of God that causes us to want to come to him. That's what drew us. It was his love that drew us. And perhaps somebody shared with you that you were going to be going to hell if you didn't accept him. But at some point, even if that message was heard, when you felt his love, that's when you responded. You may have known, hey, I'm responding because I don't want to go to hell. But at the same time, you began to feel that pulling, that drawing, if you will, where he drew you to himself. If God's calling us to come up to a new place in him, even if we've known him for many, many years, he is asking us to return to what was the whole thing that brought us to him. It was his goodness. It was his kindness that drew us. It was his kindness. He took us when the Bible tells us that we were without hope, we were without God in the world. We were in darkness. Colossians tells us that we were transformed into the kingdom of light. Now, Acts 10:38, we see how Jesus is. Now let's go there. I'm going to make it a practice on Sunday mornings, especially with this series. I want us to go and look at some of these verses. If you have a real Bible, I encourage you to bring them. If you're taking notes, take notes, because I believe the Holy Ghost may say something to you, may impart something to you that's going to help you. So in Acts chapter 10 in verse 38, we see what Jesus was like. We referenced it last week, but I want us to actually take a look at it a little slower. It says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Hallelujah. Now, I want you just, we're slowing this down just for a reason. We're coming up, right? We're coming up to a new level of maturity. You may have known the Lord for decades, but we're coming up to a new level of maturity in him that he's calling us to. Because if God sends the kind of revival that I believe he needs to send, and I believe he is sending, right? He's going to need some people who know how to operate on a different level. He's going to need some people who know how to hear on a different level, who know how to hear more specifically, who know how to obey quicker than we have in the past, and to be more confident in hearing his voice. So the series that we're on right now, it's going to touch on faith. It's going to touch on hearing God's voice clearer. It's going to touch on acts of obedience and how God is never going to be a debtor to a human being. So when you obey in an area, when he tells you to do something, right? He is going to reward. He's that good. He's that good. You cannot be any better than God. All right. He's calling us to a different, higher level in him. That's a relationship. That's a relationship. But I want you to see here that God anointed Jesus, right, with the Holy Spirit. As New Testament believers, you are anointed. Hallelujah. You're anointed. You're anointed. You may not believe that. You may not think about that very often. But did you know that you're anointed? You're anointed because when God breathed his Holy Spirit on the inside of you, you became a new creature. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. In fact, let's go there. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. And perhaps you learned this as a new believer. Perhaps you learned this when you first got saved. The old has passed away, right? Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, right, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. There is a new start to your life when you've received Christ. You say, but Pastor, you don't know, I received Christ as a kid and I messed up and then I walked away from him. I did some horrible things, right? But guess what? The Word of God tells us that we can come back to him pretty quickly. It doesn't take much to get back into that spot. You don't lose your spot just because you messed up. The Word of God tells us in 1 John 1:9, if you don't have this underlined in your Bible, it should be, all right? 1 John 1:9 tells us something that every one of us need, that he, the Lord is faithful. 1 John 1:9, he's faithful and he's just to forgive us of and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's if we confess our sins, right? If we confess our sins. That's not talking about going to a man and confessing to a man. It's talking about going to our Heavenly Father and confessing, Lord, I blew it. I need your forgiveness. I need your forgiveness. I need you to wash me clean. And guess what? Guess what God does? He washes you clean. We can still walk around with that guilt, and that's what the enemy does. He walks around and he whispers in your ear, guilt, shame, condemnation, guilt, shame, condemnation. That's what keeps us living at a lower level. That's one of the things. One of the things is that guilt, condemnation, that inferiority keeps us living at a lower level. But what God is trying to tell us as a congregation is to come up out of that, to live differently, to live at a maturity level that you can be more like Christ. And I said this last week, I've been saying this on Wednesday nights. The word Christian means Christ-like. Now, if you lost your temper on your way to church, right, and somebody cut you off, right, or whatever the case may be, you stubbed your toe and you lost your temper, you know, who knows, right? That's the way sometimes our life is. But God's calling us to a higher level of maturity that when that happens, what's your response? What's your response when that happens? God's calling us to a higher level of maturity in him so that we don't have to constantly use 1 John 1:9. Thank God it's there. It's a great safety net. Can you agree? All right. So it's there so that, again, the goal is we want to come up to that level, that higher level in God. Now, we began with John 14. Greater works. Well, think about what Jesus did. We just read it in Acts 10. What does he do? He heals. He goes about doing good, right? Healing all who were sick and oppressed of the devil. Guess that? What that tells me? You're a threat to the enemy. Every believer is a threat to the kingdom of darkness. Every believer is. And when you venture out, and I encourage you, get the ability to listen to Reverend Gary Crowell's message. And it was powerful. We need to hear that and hear it again. It's on YouTube. It's there, Westchester Family Church. You need to listen to that message. Because every time a believer starts to take steps toward taking territory in the kingdom of darkness out, right? Taking territory back from the enemy. Every time a believer does that, the enemy takes notice. The enemy's strategy is to neutralize you. That's the minimum. He would rather just destroy you, right? That's what the word tells us, John 10, verse 10. The thief comes to rob, steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. That's the enemy's strategy. He has a strategy. He has a strategy. So if we're going to come up, I believe that we've got to have a strategy. Don't you? You know, that's something that Pastor Christina and I have been talking about. A little bit about our church. More in that arena. On a strategy as a church. But individually, that's where it has to start. What kind of strategy do you have to not just hold down the fort, if you will, but how are you going to take new territory for him? That's coming up. That's coming up, isn't it? New territory for him is that you have a neighbor who's sick and God may be dealing with you to go pray for them. But I don't know how I'll be received. There have only been in the 45 years I've been a Christian and 40 years of it being in the ministry, I've only had maybe 3 people in my entire life ever refuse prayer. Ever. And I've offered it plenty. I'm talking about people who were dying. I'm talking about people who were in terrible, terrible trouble. Very rarely will somebody refuse prayer. So as believers, if we're taking back territory, what does that look like tomorrow morning? Or Tuesday morning when you return to work or school? What does that look like? It looks like being bold and knowing who your Heavenly Father is. That's how Jesus walked, is it not? That's how he walked. In fact, that John chapter 14 passage, he talks about he and the Father are one, does he not? So when we look at what the Word is telling us here, that we're anointed by God, right, as New Testament believers. Now, where is that in the Word? Where is that? Well, let's turn to 1 John 2:20. 1 John 2:20. You need to see these verses in the Word yourself. 1 John 2:20. Now, the Apostle John, he's the Apostle of Love, and this is what he says. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. Wow. That's a powerful verse. I've told you that in our house, we've been, especially since the beginning of the year, we haven't been perfect about saying the phrase, even casually, I don't know. I catch myself saying it about simple things, and then after I say it, I go, nobody even has to point it out to me. I go, oh, I shouldn't be saying that. But we're so trained by our natural mind to just kind of be lazy that way. We've got the guide on the inside, don't we? We've got the unction from the Holy One. We have the anointing from God on the inside. We have the mind of Christ, do we not? So when we say things, it's important that we say what God says for us. It's important that we say things that the Word says. And when we're going about our day, And we're saying, okay, all right, Lord, I, you know, what kind of adventure do we have today? There might be things you don't know. There might be things, you know, that you don't have the answer to from a natural perspective. But 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 16 tells us we have the mind of Christ. So we go over there. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We have the mind of Christ. Now, you may not always feel like you have the mind of Christ. How many believe that Jesus knows everything? Yes, he does. Yes, he does. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 16 says this. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Now go up to verse 14. It says, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. Now, the natural man. We're all really good at connecting to this world with our natural mind, aren't we? We drove a car to get here, or rode in one. That was the natural mind. Your spirit didn't drive the car. Right? We are so hardwired to thinking the way the world thinks that we very rarely look to the guide on the inside. We very rarely check out things with God. We just make decisions because, well, that's the best decision. Because that's, I thought through it, I figured it out, and this is what we've got to do. Well, did you inquire of the Lord? That's the question. Did you ask God about that? You know, and I want to be really clear when we're talking about hearing from God and walking out God's plan for your life and listening for the voice of the Holy Spirit. I am not talking about being weird. Y'all are looking at me funny. I'm not talking about being weird or being spiritually puffed up, that you somehow are better than everybody else, and that somehow you're the only one who has the connection to God. I'm talking about you doing it in a spirit of humility and a spirit of calmness, in a spirit of love, that you are listening and you just make those choices and you make those steps. And it's simple, and it's just a smoother way to live, is it not? Because God is calling us to what? He's calling us to come up. If we're coming up to a different level in him, then that means our listening skill has to come up. We have to hear him, and that means quieting the mind. Our mind probably has the loudest voice in most of our lives. I know most Christians live their life just with their mind. They're born again. They're going to heaven. But they're just living according to what? The course of this world. The course of this world. If we're going to live up to Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and what? Power. Hello, power. Power. Well, what's that? Have you been filled with the Holy Spirit? And if it's been some time since you've been filled, you might need to be refilled. You say, what do you mean? I spoke in tongues and received the Holy Ghost, you know, at a camp or at a retreat many years ago. When was the last time you stirred up the gift on the inside? When was the last time you prayed in other tongues? When was the last time you prayed in the Holy Ghost and prayed those mysteries out? Because the Bible tells us that we can receive power once the Holy Ghost comes upon us. Now, let's turn over there to Acts. It's not Pentecost Sunday. But it's all right. Every Sunday is Pentecost Sunday, right? Amen. Praise God. So the Word of God tells us in Acts, it tells us in Acts chapter 2, and when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were with all one accord. This is verse 1, Acts chapter 2, in one place. And suddenly came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, these disciples, you say, but that was the disciples, Pastor. That was the disciples. Are you sure that that's for us? Yes, I am sure that's for us. Because we can see this all through the New Testament. We see it in Acts chapter 8. We see it in Acts chapter 9. We see it all through the epistles. The Apostle Paul was not even here. He wasn't here. Right? He wasn't here, and yet he writes over there to the Corinthian church and says, I speak in tongues more than you all. And he was talking to a tongue-talking church who actually excelled in the gifts of the Spirit, but they had some problems with their flesh. So just because somebody is filled with the Spirit does not mean that they are impervious to making a misstep or actually getting over into sin. So sometimes I think we've gotten a little religious about that, and we've said things like, oh, can you believe that pastor or that Christian fell into sin? I thought he was the real thing. But if you read both books of Corinthians, you can find out he probably was the real thing. He made a mistake. And I'm not trying to minimize what some of those mistakes are. They're pretty severe. And there are prices to pay, naturally speaking. But thank God there's forgiveness. Amen? Thank God there's forgiveness and restoration. Praise God. Praise God. So again, God's calling us to come up. If we're coming up, then we need the power. Don't we? We need the power. And one of my mentors used to say, we need to be refilled because sometimes we leak. Yes. In fact, we're supposed to leak. We're supposed to leak out on the rest of the world. So if we're coming up, the power of the Holy Spirit is vital. It's vital to our spiritual growth and maturity. You know, many times people will just have the experience and they leave it at the retreat. They leave it at the youth camp. They leave it at the altar that they encounter God with. And yet they don't pick it up and continue on and say, okay, Lord, I'm going to stir up my faith. I'm going to pray in the Holy Spirit. Now, if it's been a while since you've possibly gotten a hold of the material that we often give out here when people get filled with the Holy Spirit, why tongues? Why is that something that God uses? I really don't know, except for the fact that it brings the tongue under subjection to the Holy Ghost on the inside, and no longer does the mind have control over the tongue, but the spirit man has control over the tongue, and that's the reason why I believe God may have chosen tongues to be the thing that actually helps connect us and build us up in Him. Now go back to Acts 10:30, we're almost done for today. There's still a lot more I want to unpack for you. But when we're looking at 10:38, and he tells us right there that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, right? It says this, and God was with him.
Yes.
And God was with him. And God was with him. And God was with him. And when you walk out of this place today, you know that God is with you. Do you know that? Do you absolutely know that? That whatever you face this week, God is with you. Do you know that? When you feel alone, God is with you. When you feel afraid, God is with you. When you feel that anxiety trying to grip you, God is with you. And you say, wait a second, no, wait. If God is with me, God is not the author of confusion. He's not the author of anxiety. He is not the one coming against my mind in fear and trying to grip me with, as Reverend Crowell talked about, intrusive thoughts that the enemy comes and tries. No, God is with me. God is with me, and you can shut the enemy down, and you begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. You begin to pray in the Holy Ghost, stirring up your most holy faith. Pray in other tongues. And when you do that, you are causing the enemy absolute confusion. He hates it. It reminds him of the day that we just read about in Acts chapter 2. That's the day when he said, I've got a problem. When Jesus walked on planet Earth, he only had to be concerned with Jesus. And when Jesus ascended into heaven, I don't think the enemy was smart enough to really realize what was going on. That now the Holy Ghost came, and now he's got 120 Jesuses to contend with. Why? Because we have to come up to the stature and the measure of the fullness of Christ. And that is in Ephesians chapter 4, to the stature and the measure of the fullness of Christ. To the stature and the measure of the fullness of Christ. When we think about how Jesus was on the earth, that is exactly how God is wanting you and me to be. He's calling us up to that level so that we can come up to the stature and the measure of the fullness of Christ. That's verse 13. Till we all come to the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man. That's not perfect meaning perfect without flaw. It's perfect meaning fully supplied, fully whole. And it says to the measure of the stature and the fullness of Christ. What did Jesus do when he was on planet Earth? That is exactly our mission. That's exactly what you and me have the ability to do when we've received him into our lives. We've received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, the power from on high, knowing that God is with us wherever we go. Then when you hear his voice, that prompting, you will know it's him. But if you're so hardwired to the world way of thinking, you will miss when he whispers, hey, why don't you invite that person to church? Or why don't you offer to pray for them? You'll miss it. You won't even hear it. And you'll be so busy and so hardwired to your mind and the things of this earth that you will absolutely miss it, and you won't even know that he spoke to you. It's true. I've done it. And truth is, probably everybody in here has. But God's calling us up to that level. Now let's go back to our opening verse. And then we're going to close here. John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Hallelujah. We're coming up to a different level. Coming up to a higher level. Amen. I hope that you're not just taking my word for it. I hope that during the week you meditate on this. Think about this, to come up to this level. Because I believe that God's dealing with me, I will tell you that, and I believe he's dealing with our church to come up to a different level. Come up to a different level. Hallelujah. Verse 12, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, that's us, the works that I do, he will do also. He will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. Verse 17, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because he neither sees him or knows him, but you know him. For he dwells with you and will be in you. Glory to God. That's talking about you and me. That's how we come up. God doesn't ask us to come up and make it impossible. He's not making it impossible. You say, Pastor, you don't know all this stuff. He's not making it impossible. Do we believe the word or not? Do we believe that what he says is true or not? I believe that what he says is true. And that if he's calling us up to that higher level, then we have the ability. The problem is we've not renewed our minds to this. We've allowed religious thinking to rob us, and we've allowed the enemy's accusations against us to rob us of coming up to this level. Praise God. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you, God, that it has the power to change us, help us, cause us to grow in you, to hear your voice clearer, to hear it more succinctly, to obey you quicker than we did ever in our lives before. That if you say move, we move. If you say step, we step. If you say run, we run. If you say give, we give. If you say speak, we speak. If you say call, we call. If you say text, we text. God, I thank you that the promptings of the Holy Spirit are going to be so evident to this church that they just obey on a moment's notice, on a quick, obedient path. Lord, I thank you. You're calling us all up to a different level in you. God, to call us up to that place, Lord, where we hear your voice so clear in the middle of chaos, in the middle of whatever is going on around us. Lord, I thank you that our minds are quiet and stable, and we have the mind of Christ. And it is stayed on you. Thank you, Lord. It keeps us in perfect peace, even in the midst of a storm, so that we can speak to that storm and say, peace, be still now, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, praise God. Father, thank you for our time right now. Thank you for our time. With every head bowed, every eye closed, no one moving around right now, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. If you just know God was dealing with you, and you want special prayer right now, I'm not going to embarrass you, but you just want me to pray for you right now because you feel like God's really dealing with you about making some changes to come up to that level that he's calling you to. And you know what those things are. I don't. Those are between you and God. I want you just to slip up your hand so that I can see it and I can pray for you this week as your name comes up in thank you. As your name, thank you. As your name comes up, your face comes up. Thank you. Praise God. I'm going to be praying for you this week. I see your hands. You can put them down once you put them up. Praise God. Because I see the face and I know you. I'm your pastor and I'm praying for you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We're coming up another level. Hallelujah. Thank you. Now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today and you don't know the Lord Jesus, I want to give you an opportunity to. Perhaps you're watching online and you need ministry or you need to come to Christ. I want you just to pray this simple prayer out loud together with us and make Jesus your Lord. That's the first step. That's the first step to becoming somebody in Christ, right? Hallelujah. When you're in Christ, you're a new creation. So let's pray according to Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. Let's pray this out loud. Say, Father God, I come before you. In the name of Jesus, I believe in my heart that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died for my sins, that he was raised from the dead for me. I receive his forgiveness. I receive his new life. And I call Jesus my Lord and Savior from this day on. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, or that was an act of recommitment in your life, I want to know about it. I'd like to give you some booklets to perhaps help you in your walk with God. We do have them available in Spanish and in English if it helps you. We also have the book that I referenced earlier in the sermon, Why Tongues. We've got that in both Spanish and English. If you need that, we would like to make that available to you. It's just a gift that we can give you to help you in your walk with God. Let's stand right now and let's say over ourselves, over our church, over our family, the word that God gave us many years ago that we speak over our church. We pray it as a confession and a prayer. Over our church. And it is Psalm 121, 7 and 8. Let's do it. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. The Lord shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Psalm 121, 7 and 8. God bless you. We'll see you next time.